chapter 11, if you can find the New Testaments, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And typically at Nelson Avenue, beginning of the year, we focus attention on prayer. Usually it's just one Sunday. This year we're spending four Sundays in this month of January looking at prayer. And so some of our songs, people sharing in the service, we're also encouraging small groups that meet to focus on the theme of prayer. And as we've already done in the service, our intention is not simply for someone, now we need people to instruct us and talk, but not simply talk. We also want to be engaging in prayer. So I'm hoping that our services, like this morning already a little bit, will be almost like a co-op program that you might take at a local college or university. We're both learning and doing. We're practicing prayer in the services, maybe in our family groups, friends, small groups, on our own. God's intention is that we pray, not just learn about praying, but we actually engage in prayer. And so during these four Sundays, we will do some different kinds of prayers. This morning, a listening prayer and an intercessory prayer. Next week, other kinds of prayers we will try. And I want to encourage you, encourage us to be part of those times of prayer. Sometimes I know it's uncomfortable. I know that. But I encourage you as your pastor, for those of you who are members and part of Nelson Avenue, to do your best. Even before you come on Sunday morning, Lord, it might get uncomfortable this morning. He might ask me to pray. Help me. Give me the words. Give me peace. Calm me down. Reassure me, oh God, it's going to be okay. Now, when I say we're going to look at prayer, I feel a little bit like someone who's saying we're going to talk about God for four Sundays. We're going to talk about life or plants or animals. Like, it's just so big. There's an ocean of information about prayer, so there's too much to cover in four Sundays. We're going to focus our attention on the Lord's Prayer, or some people have said it's better called the disciples' prayer because Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. Or others have called it the prayer of prayers, like the greatest prayer we have in the Bible. So let me invite Elsie to come up and to read this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, the first 13 verses. Elsie, thanks so much.
Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? For if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Now, the video we just watched earlier in the service already asked the question, what is prayer? I want to ask it again. What is prayer? The video suggested, and I think it's right, prayer is communication with God. But I think it begs the question, even though we answered like that, it begs the question, what kind of communication are we talking about? How do we communicate with God? Do we send him like a memo? Like a manager might send those working underneath him or her a memo, here's what you got to do? Or is it like a Christmas card kind of communication? You know, once a year we send God a communication, how we're doing, what happened the past year? Or is it, and I think it's closer to this, is it more like regular Facebook communication? Sharing updates, keeping others, here's some pictures of me, etc., etc. This morning I want to suggest that for us to ask the question, what is prayer, it's also helpful for us to ask the question, who is God? Who is the God that we're praying to? Is this God loving or just? Is he compassionate or holy? Is he gracious or truthful? And the Bible affirms that God is all of these things. And he's each of these things in these questions that seem to pit two things against each other. And so when we think about God is all of these things, he's both holy and compassionate. He's loving and just. At the same time, I think it helps me understand what prayer is meant to be. Prayer is meant to be ongoing, regular communication with God so that, as Pastor Tim Keller says, we experience both awe and intimacy. We experience both amazement and affection, reverence and relationship, power and personal connection with God. So prayer is that communication or that talking with God where we experience both the strong and powerful God, but also the loving, compassionate, and personal God. Now, I may be pushing things a little bit too much this morning, as I'm wont to do, but recently, I was talking with someone about the Mandarin word for prayer, which is Dao Gao, or something like that. And Dao Gao is actually a word that has two characters. Now, other Mandarin words are like this, but when I saw it, and we might see it real soon, and if not, you just have to believe me, there are two characters in this word for prayer. When someone was explaining it to me, they said, well, the first character, Dao, means pray or ask, and the second character means tell, inform, or declare. Now, maybe I'm pushing too hard, but when I saw those two characters and I thought prayer is meant to be two things at the same time, awe and intimacy, I thought, well, maybe the Chinese word for prayer, the Mandarin word for prayer, is helping us get at that two-part experience in prayer, both the power, which I might say is the Dao, and the personal relationship, which is the Gao. God wanting both of these things, both of the experiences for us. Now, I love the way our passage begins this morning in Luke chapter 11. Jesus is praying. His disciples, they maybe see him praying, and they say, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And the assumption here is rabbis or teachers like John the Baptist and Jesus taught their disciples, they instructed them, but they also instructed them very specifically how to pray. The other assumption is, as the disciples ask Jesus, teach us to pray, the assumption is, we don't automatically know how to pray. Prayer is not automatic to us. We need someone to teach us or instruct us. And so with that in mind, I want to encourage us this morning to be fat. To be fat people. I want to use that word, F-A-T, as an acronym. I know it's a little weird this morning. First Sunday of the new year. Some of us are trying hard to slim down after all that Christmas goodies and chocolates. But I still want to call us to be fat people. F-A-T. Faithful, available, and this morning especially teachable. To be faithful in prayer, available for prayer, but also teachable with prayer. I want to encourage us this morning not to assume either of two extremes, that we know everything there is to know about prayer. That's one bad extreme. We know everything. We have nothing more to learn. The other extreme is, I can never learn how to pray. I can never learn how to pray. I can never do it. This morning, I want to encourage us, the people who are assuming God is the teacher, and He wants and is able to teach us how to communicate with Him. Some of us this morning have been or presently are what we might call ESL students or ESL people. We're trying to learn English as a second language. English is not our automatic language. For some of us it is, but for many of us actually this morning, it's not. Even though all of us are maybe not ESL students, all of us are, I want to suggest this morning, we are all PSL students. Prayer as a second language. And we never graduate from the school of prayer. Which helps me think that there's a reason why some of us have a tough time praying. I know some of us will say, I don't pray because I don't have the words. I don't know how to pray, which is maybe true, maybe. Some of us might say, I have no time. I'm so busy. Which is one of the things, I know we are busy, but I want to encourage us as a church to stop using that word. To find ways, I don't know, we got to find ways of unbusying ourselves. So that's not like a medal. I'm so busy, don't ask me to do anything. No, actually, I'm learning from God and His Word how to rest and take Sabbath. So I'm not always busy making myself feel busy and harried and hurried and making you feel guilty that you're asking me to do something or you want to meet with me or you want to have coffee with me or something like that. That's a little side this morning. So some of us think, I can't pray, I don't know how, I don't have time. Some of us, sometimes myself, don't see it makes any difference, or it's not a very efficient use of time. But I think many of us are just plain afraid to pray. We've heard some teaching on prayer, but we're afraid to pray like me in France or me in Italy, afraid to talk. I got a few words I could use. I'm just afraid to talk because I'm going to look dumb. I'm going to look childish. I've got this language of prayer. I know a little bit to say, but I don't want to say it because, like those of us trying to learn another language, it just feels so weird. And I want to encourage us to, again, maybe ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I'm learning to pray. Give me strength. Give me courage. Help me to overcome this fear of maybe sounding like I'm saying another language, and it doesn't always sound very natural, but help me, give me strength to do that. And when I think about prayer as learning another language, I think that we learn prayer, the language of prayer, best by reading and listening to God's Word. It's one of the reasons why God gave us the Bible, is to teach us how to pray. And this is how all language is learned. Nobody can go into a room all by themselves and just start learning a language. We need someone talking to us. That's how babies and children, all of us, learn how to talk. We can't learn language in isolation. We need someone talking to us, and we start, you know, trying to imitate the words, and they keep saying the same words over to us, And finally we start saying the word as they're saying it. In the same way, I want to suggest this morning that God gives us his word, helping us to learn how to pray, that there are in the Bible model prayers like the Lord's Prayer, but there are also encouragements like who should be praying? Who should learn how to pray? And from the Bible we learn anyone who's an ordinary human being should be learning how to pray. I know it sounds pretty simplistic, but that's from James chapter 5. Or when should we pray? We read the Bible, we realize people pray all the time, all different kinds of situations, joyful, sorrowful, grieving, discouraged, in need of healing, need of direction, all kinds of moments people are praying. And then finally, the Bible gives us what I call a concept for prayer, or a framework for prayer, including how should I think about prayer, but also how should I think about the God that I'm praying to. And that's how Jesus starts his teaching. Teach us how to pray. Okay, here's the first thing you have to learn. Listen carefully. Father. That's Luke chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 6, we get the phrase that most of us use, we use this morning, our Father in heaven. That's the longer phrase. But this is the first thing that God wants to teach us through Jesus Christ the Son about prayer. Our Father in heaven. In this phrase, I'm going to suggest we have this both-and approach to prayer I talked about earlier. That if we have God as powerful, he's in heaven, but we also have God as Father, that he's personal. He's powerful and he's personal. Now, we've been reading a lot from the Heidelberg Catechism this morning. Now, this is a document. I find it very, very helpful, just basic Christianity. Basic Christianity. It has a section in that document about the Lord's Prayer, how to pray. And in that section, it says, oh, why do we say Father? Why does the Bible teach us to address God as Father? And the answer is, it wants to awaken in us a childlike reverence and trust that through Jesus Christ, God has become our Father. And just as our parents do not refuse us the things of this life, even less will God, our Father, refuse to give us what we ask in faith. He is our Father. And this morning, for some of you, it's very difficult, I know. But I want to encourage you to have a picture of your father in your mind. Well, this is my father. Passed away in 2013. For me, he was a good father. And so when I hear about God as Father, I think, well, I can connect a little bit with that. The Bible is trying to tell me, your father, you think he was good? Well, God, who is your Father in heaven, is 10,000 times better and gooder than your father on earth. Now, I know some of us can't do this. We can't hold up a picture of our father and say, he was a good father. Some of us say, my picture of my father, I've got bad memories of my father. And I want to encourage you, if that's you this morning, even in that, to have that as a pointer to God the Father. Because when we say to someone, if we're able to do that, to say, my father wasn't that great. My father was actually mean. Or he did things to me or to others that was really, really wrong. Even as we say that, the assumption is fathers are not supposed to do that. Fathers are not supposed to be mean and do bad things to us. So our innate understanding of fathers is they're supposed to be good and great and loving and compassionate. So whether good fathers or not, let our memories of our fathers, our experience of our fathers, drive us to our Father in heaven. And then the catechism says, well, why do we say in heaven? And the answer is, these words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly, like we are, but to expect everything needed for body and soul from God's almighty power. He is our Father in heaven. In this language, I want to encourage us this morning to use it. I was reading recently a study from Stanford University entitled Baby's First 10 Words. So the study looked at children raised in Hong Kong, raised in Beijing, and raised in the U.S. The babies are learning Cantonese, Mandarin, and English. And what words are similar in each of these situations, each of these places? And I was surprised, of course, words like hi or hello, similar, children learn that, bye, bye-bye. They also, I was surprised, all these children, they all learn woof, 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 woof. I can't quite get that. Hi, bye, I can understand, woof, woof, I can't. But of course, the most common words that children learn in any of these places, no matter what, I want to say, no matter what culture they're in, what language they're learning, the two most common words are mommy and daddy. And I'm thinking, this for me is so deep and so profound. For human developments, but also for spiritual developments, we need to start saying to God, if we're not doing that already, Father, or Daddy, or Dad. Some acknowledgement of who God is. And I'm surprised, maybe not so surprised, but think about the words for father in different languages. Daddy, Korean, I think it's appa, Dutch, father or papa, Mandarin, I think baba, Romanian. Now, I've had a little conversation with Virgil. I haven't got the final pronunciation, but I found tata. I know it's a little different the way you say in Romanian, but in Hebrew, abba. All these words to talk about father. And Jesus is saying, when you think about God and talk to God, use the same word, the same language, which I think is just deeply, deeply, deeply powerful. God is trying to say, I'm great, I'm big, I made the heavens and the earth, I made the universe, I'm connecting and providing for all these creatures on the earth, but when you talk to me, I simply want you to say Father, or Daddy, or Dad. That's how I want you to approach me. And I know for some of us that's a little tough. That's a little tough. Not simply to say the word, I think we could all do that, we could all mimic the word, but to have the experience in our hearts that God is our Father in heaven. I want to end this morning just by looking at a few verses from Romans chapter 8. You can find them in your Bibles or on the sermon outline in your bulletins. I want to read these verses, make a few comments about them, because the experience of saying to God, Father, or Abba, or Daddy, is supposed to be part of our Christian experience. So one of the things we want to encourage each other to do is to have authentic, very deep Christian experiences in our lives, to be thoroughly Christian. So this is Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. God gives His Spirit to those who believe in Jesus, and when He gives the Spirit tells us we're God's children, sons and daughters of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. So the Spirit of God is helping us to move from God as slave master and judge, and he's just out to get me. The Spirit shows us, no, He's my Father in heaven. He's my Father in heaven. The Spirit's moving me to this kind of experience. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. And if we are children, and here's, I think, sort of the climax, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The Spirit given, bearing witness with my spirit, I'm a child of God. I'm a son or daughter of God. I can call God my Father. And then the Spirit keeps saying to me, because you're son or daughter, you are heirs. You inherit all of God's saving blessings. All His promises are yours through Jesus Christ. I really want to conclude now with two final things. About 24 minutes ago, if you were on Facebook, maybe some of you are right now, I don't know, a post went on our Nelson Avenue Facebook page talking about a 14-day devotional on prayer by Tim Keller. So I'm going to encourage you to follow that, to follow that 14-day prayer devotional starting this morning or starting today. But also, secondly, and I'd love to hear some of you talk about this if you're able to sometime, but I want to just encourage us, if we can remember, the next 7 days, see if we can do this. Next 7 days, when we wake up first thing in the morning, I want to encourage you just to begin by saying, Father, Father in heaven. Doesn't have to be a long prayer, but just acknowledge God as our Father, and maybe just say something like this, Father in heaven, good morning. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Father in heaven, help me today. Whatever it might be, but let's try and begin the next 7 mornings, if we can remember. The first thing, and one of the first things we say, just acknowledge who God is. Father in heaven.